Good morning. Let's turn, please, to Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to read some verses again that we read the last time we were here from verse 15. I want you to notice particularly, it tells us a lot about this young lady, Rebecca. Tells us a lot. Now, you might not think that without you opening your mouth and explaining who you are, we can tell what you're like without you ever telling us anything. Just watching you, your behavior, your attitude, tells us a lot. So I want you to see something here in these verses about this young lady, Rebecca. Now, Rebecca would be very young. I'd be inclined to think that she was in her late teens at the very most. So she was just a young girl. Verse 15. And it came to pass, before he, that's Abraham's servant, had done speaking, he had been praying and asking God to lead and guide in the selection of a young woman, that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Just you picture this. It's most likely the well was down below ground level and probably steps cut out of the stones to go down to it. So she was going down these steps to fill up the big jar that she had been carrying on her shoulder, and now she's coming back up again. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Now you notice her response. And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also, till they have done drinking." He never asked her. She offered. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, or to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, I'm telling you that you can learn a lot about this young lassie just by those words that we have read together, just by the record of her behavior. And it's important that we note Rebecca's behavior. I want you to see how she responds to the message that this servant of Abraham is bringing to her. He's about to request that she follow him and become the bride of his master's son. And the sort of girl she was is set before us here. I would use three words to describe Rebecca here. First of all, reverent. She spoke to this man who she didn't know. She could tell immediately he was an elderly man, but she didn't know him. But she spoke to him reverently. She referred to him as her lord. "Drink, my lord," she says, verse 18. Now that's like, "Drink, sir. Drink, sir." A proper response and a proper title given to this gentleman by this young lady. This is a day, you know, in which such reverence is not often seen. This is a day in which, no matter who you are, you address everybody you meet by their first name. You might not realize it, but that's all part of the departure from God. It's all part of the apostasy. It's all part of man throwing over God's rule, God's law, God's truth, and asserting himself. "I'll do what I like." The Word of God tells us that we are to honor our father and our mother. And if you look at the commentaries on those words, you will see that that command is not just for father and mother, but it's extended to other older people within our family circle. Very few young people now refer to their father or their mother's brothers or sisters as aunt and uncle. They just call them by their first name. Now, when I was young, if I had done that, I probably still would be feeling the pain in my ear from the slap I would have gotten, because it's not a proper attitude to an adult. I was brought up to believe that whoever you met, if they were older than you, in your father and mother's age bracket, they were Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. He didn't just call them by their first name. And I think that was proper. I believe that was in keeping with the teaching of the Word of God. But you see, the Word of God has been abandoned, it's been set aside, and consequently, you find today that titles, and it is a title, a title that grants honour, like uncle and aunt, even mother and father. I have heard young people address their mother and father by their first name. By their first name. I'll tell you a wee story. When I was about 3, I can't remember very many things that happened to me when I was about 3, but this I can remember. I remember my father was upstairs shaving, the old cutthroat thing, and his face was all soap when he was scraping away. And my mother went out to the bottom of the stairs and said, "Thomas, your tea's ready." And there was no immediate response, so I toddled out and said, "Thomas, your tea's ready." Well, that brought a response, and I can still see my father coming flying down the stairs and the soap flying off his face. And my mother getting in front of me and saying, "Oh, no, he didn't understand it." For I was in for it. Because that was deemed then and ought still to be deemed a most improper way to address your father. I'll not make any plea for myself, but it does illustrate a certain truth. And I think you see in Rachel this reverence. I've been trying to think that if this were to happen today, the young lassie would say, "Get your own drink. Who do you think I am?" Wouldn't you? "See, there's the well. Go down and drink all you want." Isn't that what would be said? But not from Rebecca. "Drink, my lord." There was reverence there. She was willing. I pointed out to you when we read this portion, I think it was on Tuesday, there was a lot of running involved. And you find her hastening, running, quickly. Not dilly-dallying, but eager. Eager to carry out the will and the wish of this gentleman. So she was willing. Oh, God, give us a willingness to do what we're told, to hasten, to do that which is commanded us. But as well as being reverent and willing, she was obedient. She did what she was asked. She didn't find her heart rising up in defiance and saying, "Who are you, as it were, to order me about? Who are you? I don't know you. You're not my father. Who are you to order me about?" No, there was none of that. There was none of that. Obediently, she carried out the request that was made to her. Now, why do I emphasize this, boys and girls? Why is it that important? Well, I'll tell you why. If you don't learn to obey your parents, the chances are you'll go to hell. I want you to think about that. Why? Why should that be so? Well, I'll tell you. If you can't obey your parents, whom you can see, it's not very likely you're going to obey God, whom you can't see. The authority that your parents have in guiding and directing you comes from God. He has commanded parents to train their children up in the way. Now, if children rebel against their parents, they're rebelling against God's authority. If you're in the army, and the lance corporal, who is the lowest rank above a private, he's just above a private, but if a lance corporal gives you a command, and you say no, you're up before the commanding officer. Because by saying no to the lance corporal, you have said no to the whole authority within the army. You're in rebellion against the whole command structure of the army. And children who can't obey their parents, who won't obey their parents, I tell you, it is very, very unlikely that they will obey God. I must tell you another little story. It's quite a number of years ago, but in the church here, one day I was watching, as I was preaching, a little girl. And boy, was she misbehaving. Just wouldn't do what she was told. She was lying on her back on the seat and kicking up at the face of her mother, and actually kicked her mother in the face a couple of times, being very rebellious. At the end of the service, as Mommy and Daddy were going out, I said, "I'd like a word with you." And in that back room I told them, "If you don't teach your child how to behave, the chances are she'll go to hell. Because if she can't obey you, she's never going to obey the gospel." Mind you, that sobered them up. Oh, it's so important. It's all part of the great structures that God has instituted whereby we are brought into subjection to the will of God. We learn to obey our parents so that when we hear God say, "This do," we have within us a disposition to heed, to listen. And the whole attitude of Rebecca here has much to do with the gentle, submissive response that she gives to the request. We'll look at that later. I don't want to look at that just now. But if you go on to read down the chapter, you'll see she gives a very gentle response. Having been taught to obey her parents, having been taught to respect her elders, she didn't find it difficult to heed the invitation, heed the exhortation that came to her from this man. And she submissively said, yes, I'll go, and I'll become the bride of Isaac. Oh, boys and girls, obeying parents is so important, and for parents to teach you to obey is so important. Don't feel rebellious against parents when they chide you, when they rebuke you, when they direct you, when they say no, when you would like to do something. Because it's all part of that process instituted by God, whereby your mind and your will is being brought into submissiveness. There is a nice verse, it's often quoted, it's in the book of Proverbs. It's directed chiefly at parents, but it'll do you no harm for you to see what it is God says to parents. It's Proverbs 22, the verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The training a child receives is going to have a lasting impact upon that child. When the child becomes an adult, they will continue on in the path that they have been guided into when they were young. Now, of course, if they're not guided, if they have been brought up to do it the like, go into their room and lock the door and turn on the television or the PlayStation or whatever, if that's how they have been allowed to grow up, that's the way they'll continue, ruling themselves. And when they hear the gospel in which God says, do, they'll say, what? I don't care who is telling me to do this. I want to do what I want to do. And they'll reject God's command. Look at the countryside. Look at the towns and the cities. Probably don't peruse the newspapers or listen that much to the news, so you probably aren't that well acquainted with all that's going on, but I'm sure you can't escape altogether some knowledge of the state of affairs in the land. Just yesterday, maybe it was the night before, but the reports appeared yesterday of a man who went out to rebuke some teenagers who were throwing stones, some of which were coming and hitting his home. And they rounded on him and they beat him half to death. What triggered that? You're not going to tell me what to do. They were only teenagers. You're not going to tell me what to do. Because there has departed from the society in which we live, generally speaking, all respect for authority from wherever it comes. People say, I'll do what I want to do. And it's seen in the young. But boys and girls, I'm telling you that being in submission and obedience to your parents will have an eternal impact. If you can't learn to obey your parent, the chances are you'll never obey God. Parents only speak on behalf of God when they teach you how you should behave. They get their authority from God. So if you defy them, you're defying God, and it'll go on until you pay the ultimate price. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word train there, I understand, has within its Hebrewism the idea of the man who's growing vines, going out and training the vine. You know there's little tentacles come out from vines, and they grab onto whatever is behind them in order to remain upright and grow. There's many different varieties of plants that do that. And if you have a fence at home, maybe your mum or dad has planted a nice climber against it, and it's holding on to the fence or up against the wall of the house by little tentacles that twist themselves round any little projection. And that's the idea. You train a child up, getting them to get a hold of certain truths that they might learn the right way. And we set the gospel before you here, that you might take a hold of it, and so be drawn into the right way, and walk the right way. So, Rebecca, just in the way she responds to this request for a drink, shows to us a woman, a young woman, only a girl, who have been well brought up. And oh, my Dear boys and girls, how it paid her later in life and throughout eternity. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. We're going to bow in prayer. Dear Lord, just write Your word upon the hearts of the boys and the girls. Help them to understand what has been said and make them therefore all the more willing and receptive of the authority of father and mother and of the teachers here in the school. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.